What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Big Jim here with another episode of the Smokers Lounge, where sports discussion becomes sports debates and so on and so more, man. Y'all already know, man. It's April. We just dealt with March Madness, man. Championship game tonight, man. Who you rooting for? On one side, you got Bella. You know, they had a phenomenal season as well. And the other side, you had the mighty Gonzaga Bulldogs, right? Chase of perfection. And that's a beautiful set. You know, it's very rare when you see a team in any professional sport go and deal with perfection, right? So, you know, your boy Big June, he's not really a college basketball fan, but I would like to see perfection. However, if Baylor does win it, you know, I'm all right with that as well. You know, just getting into the basketball and, you know, NBA playoffs is coming soon. So, it's a lot of willing and dealing going on, man. During the trading deadline, as well as the buyout period, right? Unless you were living under a rock or in a cave, and you didn't know what was going on the last couple of months in the NBA world, well, let me enlighten you a little bit. James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets, where they formed the big three of him, KD, and Kyrie. Couple of trades, you know, Victor Oladipo, no mega superstar like that. Vujicic from Orlando. Basically, they stripped the whole starting five and rebooted and rebuilding, right? But now we get into the buyout. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge to the Brooklyn Nets. Blake Griffin to the Brooklyn Nets. Andre Drummond to the Los Angeles Lakers. DeMarcus Cousins to the Los Angeles Clippers. A lot of big names, man, changing teams, and basically going to impact the stretch down, the playoff stretch. And this is what led me to do this episode, because it comes down to, like, are super teams really good for the league? Because, you know, the parity in between teams is, you know, at one point, it's evenly balanced. But come trade deadline and buyouts, you know, some of these superstars basically say where they want to go. Listen, man, I'm not happy here. I want to go to New York, or I want to go to L.A. I want to go to Houston, Chicago, et cetera, man. So, you know, growing up, seeing the Lakers, Magic Johnson, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, seeing the Celtics, Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish. You know, so the big threes were always in play. But, you know, the difference is now, a lot of these players are advocating to play with each other. You know, leaving their respective teams they've been drafted by and, you know, aligning themselves with another superstar or a few superstars, depending on what team it is. So, you know, just thinking about all the transactions over the years in the NBA, man, the trades that, you know, impacted and bought championships, like the Paul Gasols, you know. I don't know if it was after that or before that, the Gasol trade, but, you know, the NBA veto, the Chris Paul trade. But everyone wants to blame LeBron for starting the super teams and, you know, leaving Cleveland and aligning himself with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. But, you know, if you really look at it, a lot of those good teams were back in the day. You know, they basically drafted their own players. You know, James Worthy, Magic Johnson. Yes, they traded for Kareem. Michael, Scotty. Yes, they signed Dennis Rodman. And they signed Tony Kukoc as well. But, you know, back in the day, in my era, it was always a 1-2. That 1-2 punch, right? The Scotty Pippen. The Stockton Malones, right? The Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. You know, even the Tim Duncan, David Robinson. It was always a 1-2 punch. And they was getting it done, and the NBA consisted of a 1-2 tandem. I had to have at least two superstars on your team, right? From Shaq and Kobe. You know, the list goes on and on when you come to think about it, man. Now, there was a couple of teams that did it their way and had their own blueprint of how to be successful. And, you know, the Boston Celtics as well. You know, they traded for Ray Allen, traded for Kevin Garnett, and then they drafted Rajon Rondo. And they went from a big three to a fearsome foursome, right? Because Rondo definitely earned his ring and earned his stripes over there with the Celtics, right? Now, how about the Lakers when, you know, Shaq and Kobe, and they signed Gary Payton and Carmelo, you know, those two perennial all-star superstars in their respective positions, right? Because, you know, Carmelo, him and Utah, back-to-back finals appearance, and they were the epitome of the standard when they came to the Western Conference, right? You could see them anywhere from the one slot to the five. And, you know, Seattle had a good run with Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and Dennis Schrempf and, you know, George Carlin in a way, but they couldn't get over the hump. And they couldn't get past that Laker team. So I guess they figured, you know, if they can't beat them, then, you know, join them. Now, we all know how that turned out. As the Pistons spanked them and, you know, were crowned champions that year. You know, shout out to Chauncey Billups, Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Larry Brown, the head coach. You know, that was a phenomenal team. And everyone had the Lakers penciled in. You know, Shaq and Kobe, 3-peat. They just added Karl Malone and Gary Payton. There's no way they're going to lose, right? Well, we all seen that one and how it went down, right? So then when you get back to the point, when you think about LeBron, right? He basically put the Bulls on his back, made a big hoopla over the signings with him, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, when they all ended up in Miami. But you got to admit, four finals appearance, two championships appearance. I mean, excuse me, two finals championships as well as two finals MVPs, right? Okay. But what about Kevin Durant when he joined Golden State? Because he basically said he couldn't beat them, so he had to join them, right? OKC was up 3-1. Now, we all know that obviously they didn't get the job done. But who in their wildest dreams or imagination would have thought that Kevin Durant would sign with Golden State? Of all teams in the West, Golden State. Now, the president has been set. You know, he had Anthony Davis campaigning, you know, to play with the Lakers. LeBron James playing general manager any chance he gets. You know, everyone's pointing the finger right now on Kevin Durant. But think about it. Them seeds been planted when him and Kyrie signed with Brooklyn, right? Now, if you are a veteran NBA player and, you know, you've basically been an all-star and you racked up the money, and you got the individual accolades, and it's time to chase a ring. So, you know, it presented himself, and Blake Griffin, you know, DeAndre Jordan's his buddy from his Clipper days, and obviously him and Kevin Durant have a good relationship. Obviously, you know, James Harden forcing the issue out of Houston. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't know what was going on in San Antonio, man, but obviously, the, you know, him and Pop agreed to split ways, and he ended up in Brooklyn. So, with that being said, man, Smokers Lounge Podcast, man, do you think super teams are good for the league? Or they just, you know, ridiculous? It's getting carried away. Because you think about all the good teams that have been assembled. There's a couple of trades that, you know, would lead prior to them being a trio as they progress and get comfortable playing with each other, right? Because you think about that front court in Denver next season. With Joker, Michael Porter Jr., and Aaron Gordon, you know, it's a couple of moves that is paying dividends, and it will continue to pay dividends as the season progresses and the playoffs start. And I'm going to mention one right now. I think the Drew Holiday trade for Milwaukee and locking him up with an extension was a great idea. You know, it takes pressure off Middleton, takes pressure off Greek Freak come playoff time. When that double team collapses, the triple team collapses, and they're looking for a third scorer, you know, on a consistent basis. And by the way, Drew Holiday can create his own shot. So you see, like, some of these super teams or allegedly big threes, you know, I see it working. I understand why it's coming into fruition. But do you understand that every team can assemble an all-star team the way the Brooklyn Nets have right now? You know, and then you got some of these small market teams that can't keep their superstars, like the Pelicans. So, you know, with Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram out there in the horizon, would they be able to keep their team, or would someone like the Brooklyn Nets or the Los Angeles Lakers come in and swoop them in? Because super teams is like the norm now, right? Everyone is trying to align themselves with a super team. Because you talk about what happened in the offseason when D'Angelo Russell basically was campaigning for him, Devin Booker, and Karl-Anthony Towns to align themselves. He didn't mention what team they would align themselves with, but, you know, that would be also a big three in the future making noise, right? So, is super teams bad for the league? Or do you feel like, you know, it's just part of the game and when you beat it, it's more sweeter? Because some of these teams that you mentioned, oh, but this team is the super team and they got this guy. And no, but let's basically break it down. And I'll give you an example while breaking it down for you right now. Golden State. That three with Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. Three finals championships, right? Five finals appearances altogether, if I'm correct. But you got to understand, they was built from the draft. You know, Steph Curry was drafted, then Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, respectively, however it was, not up and in the direct order. But they assembled that through the draft, and no one knew how or how far they would take it once they was assembled, and could that three be productive moving forward, right? And we all got the answer to that when we seen them being crowned champions, not once, not twice, but three times, and all three of them, they're having a major impact. So, you know, that team, yes, it is a big three, but you got to remember, like I just mentioned, they were drafted together. So, you know, it's a lot of times that you don't get a choice of, like, through the years, man, it's been teams that have tried to come out and push the idea, push the envelope for the triple threat, you know, and before Boston or LeBron, whoever you want to say, started it all this shit. You know, I remember when Orlando signed Tracy McGrady, they were also trying to sign Tim Duncan and Grant Hill and form a big trio down there, right? So I guess the blueprint was already there and they just needed ways for X to be executed. And I guess this is where you cue in the Hall of Fame of, you know, one of the greatest coaches, one of the greatest presidents, general managers of all time in NBA history, which is Pat Riley, right? So Pat Riley found a way and, you know, he broke a lot of hearts along the way. And he assembled that big three with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James. And some would say that, you know, the game is over. And now it's just crazy when you look at the teams. And you look at some of these rosters of the teams and you just bug out. And you're like, wow, these guys are all together? Now, it's a nice, this is the three that I feel in a couple of years, if they stay together, they will make noise. How about the young trio of Atlanta, in Atlanta, with Trae Young, John Collins? You know, even though Clint Capella wasn't drafted by them, he's still young and has a lot of productive years ahead of him. So if they could keep that trio together and they take the league by storm, you know, it's actually, that's good for the sport. That's good for the league as well. You know, because every team can't afford to, you know, have the salaries and have the draft capital to assemble a super team. And then some teams do have the money and have the capital, and you just can't pull the trigger. And free agency is big because you got to entice these guys who want to come play for you, right? They want to come suit up. And a perfect example of that is New York. You know, these guys that had all the capital when LeBron's a free agent, when Kawhi was a free agent, when KD and Kyrie were free agents, and yet none of them suited up for the orange and blue. You remember the first go-around when LeBron signed with Miami Heat? And they said the consolation prize was Amari Stoudemire. And some say that they overpaid for him. But you got to do that when you're a bad team and you're looking to make a, you know, make some noise and make a statement. And even though New York tried to assemble their three as well, when Amari, Tyson Chandler, and Carmelo Anthony, it had a little run. So you see, a lot of teams are doing it. Now, just because you do it don't mean you're going to have success. And you're going to reach the pinnacle of the NBA world, like the Lakers did. You know, like Miami did, or like what Cleveland did when they had their big three of him, Kyrie, and Kevin Love. So, you know, just because you got a three doesn't guarantee you victory. I mean, you know, it's not a good team to have a 1-2 punch that can make some noise. And if you add that final piece to the equation, and it's just like, wow, is that a super team? So speaking of super teams, right, then I mean, the 76ers have to be a super team as well, right? Because you got Joel Embiid, excuse me. You have Ben Simmons. You got Tobias Harris, which what some people say he's borderline superstar or just a good fit as a third option, scoring-wise. Okay. So what about Miami? You know, they just traded for Victor Oladipo. So what about that trio of Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Victor Oladipo? Could they make noise? You see, there's a lot of teams out there that you really look at it, and they do have three. See, now in the NBA, the way it's set up now, you need that third scorer. You need that third superstar. Now, does he have to be an upper echelon superstar? No. Does he fit into the system or what you're trying to do, and is he going to complement the offense moving forward? You see, like Chris Bosh, he was a superstar in his own right, respectively, in Toronto. But he had to take a back seat in Miami. And yes, he won championships. And yes, he came up with that crucial rebound. So, you know, some superstars can't play that role and can't play that part. And just accustomed to being the man. And that's when a lot of frustration and the turmoil comes in within the team, right? But anyway, what team do you think, as far as, you know, the big three? Like, they really, to me, the team that comes to mind, man, and even though they won one championship, was the Boston Celtics, right? Because, like, when they assembled that big three of KD and, KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce, you know, they took the league by storm. Like, the league didn't know what was going on. Now, I might be exaggerating, but I felt like at one point they were, like, 40-4, some crazy shit like that. And yet they only won one championship. So, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, having a loaded team that's a superstar isn't guaranteed nothing, really. So, bottom line, you still got to get it done. Right? Same like, you know, when people call Kevin Durant a sellout or a cupcake. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that, man, as far as that team. And could you imagine OKC had one of the original drafted super teams as well when they drafted KD, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook? Right? But again, you know, the small markets couldn't keep the team together. And they basically outgrew their contracts over there in OKC, right? With the phenomenal play, the finals appearance. So again, all the teams that I mentioned, past and present, how do you feel of super teams? Is it good for the game? Is it bad for the game? Does it have no place in the game? Is it played out? Like, you know, those are things that when you're thinking about it, you know, from a fan standpoint, if your team is dead but can't get over the hump and you were looking to acquire someone in trading deadline, or you know what, this guy just got bought out, so, you know, maybe you got a chance to sign him for the remainder of the season, right? Now, here comes a team like Brooklyn swooping in and taking that guy you wanted, right? Or a team like the Clippers or the Lakers, you know, because those are the preferred destinations for some of these athletes, man, some of these ball players, man. And, you know, you can't blame them at the end of their career or towards the middle of their career. Like I said earlier in the episode, they made the money. They got the individual accomplishment, the accolades. What else is there to accomplish in their career besides winning the championship? Now, don't think because you signed with a perennial championship team that you're guaranteed to win a championship, because it's not. And you still got to suit up and you have to play the games. So I know Brooklyn is looking phenomenal and very scary on paper. But, you know, it's a couple of games left to the playoffs start. And, you know, I'm not trying to jinx them or knock on wood by any stretch of the imagination. A lot of those guys that they sign, including KD and Kyrie, are injury prone. So you never know what could happen down the stretch in the playoffs. Yes, they are very looking scary, though. And, you know, again, the Lakers, they just signed Andre Drummond. So that front court with Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. You know, we're not even talking about Montrezl Harrell and some of these other guys coming off the bench now, right? So that front court is stacked. And some say that, you know, that was a counter move to all the moves that Brooklyn has made and the Clippers, you know, traded for Rajon Rondo, which is also going to play dividends come playoff time. And, you know, hopefully they'll get the playoff Rondo version moving forward, right, for the Clippers. But it just feels like some of these teams are just stuck in mud. And no matter how much traction they get, no how much of a boost they get, they just still stuck. And, you know, some can say that it's due to ownership and lack of leadership and failure with the drafting and the signing. It's a lot to come and play, man, when you're a superstar team and Just think about it like that. If you're, you know, you just signed, but here comes Kevin Garnett or here comes a Blake Griffin that's available through the trade or through the buyout. You're not going to stop what you're doing because you already have a super team assembled, right? It seems like the more the merrier, right? And now they say, like, you know, there's only one ball, you know, to pass around, and a lot of these teams can't gel and get it together. And that's what the question was in play when Brooklyn acquired James Harden. How's that working out for you? James Harden, to me, is the MVP of the NBA this season. And he's just letting this game do the talking. And, you know, him and Kyrie must have had that conversation. Like, listen, man, I'm the two, you the one, and we're going to get it done. And, you know, they're getting it done. If I'm correct, they're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference right now. You know, they lost last night to Chicago, and they played the New York Knicks tonight. And shout out to the Knicks, and hopefully we get this W tonight, man. Now, mentioning the Knicks again, man. You know, they were asked them, how do they feel about the big three, and do they feel intimidated by the big three? And, you know, what else you expect them to say? You know, they asked Julius Randle and Reggie Bullock, and they, you know what? They said, listen, man, you still got to play the games. You got to suit up, and you know, we're not concerned with what they're doing over there. We're worried about the New York Knicks and this locker room. And there's a lot of teams that have the same mindset moving forward. So, you know, while Brooklyn is mighty and looks great and dangerous on paper, I could see a team like Milwaukee Bucks with their trio of Jrue Holiday, the Greek Freak, and Chris Middleton taking them to the limit. Not only that, but also see them eliminating them. Now, you've seen the little trio in Miami. You've seen the run that Jimmy Butler had last season in the bubble. Now, with Victor Oladipo on play, and them starting to hit their groove and stride, is that trio enough to make noise and once again reach the finals for the Miami Heat? Just think about that. Now, let's not count out the Boston Celtics. Yes, they're struggling. A lot of ups and downs, dealing with injuries, their defense, the staple under Brad Stevens is not there this season. However, they also have a big three, too, when you come and look at it, right? Because you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, and you got Kemba Walker. Now, that's a team now, if they get it together and align themselves the right way moving forward going into the playoffs, I don't think a lot of teams want to face them as well. So, you know, it's a lot of teams now, when you think about it, man, they really do have three and better. Whether you consider them a super team or not, they still have three and better. But, you know, I'm going to ask you the question again, and to me, I'm going to give you the answer after I ask the question to you. Smokers Lounge Podcast, man. Is super teams, are super teams bad for the league? Is it bad for the sport? You know, your boy B. June, man. After a long deliberation and just thinking about it for a second, I'm going to give you the answer how I feel about it, man. And the answer to me, for me, is no. And I'm going to tell you why. Because like I mentioned before, just because you lined yourself to make a super team doesn't mean you're going to reach the top and become that super team. And yes, there's roads and bumps. There's bumps in the road, excuse me. And some teams can never overcome the adversity and the pride and the ego to come to being a superstar and being the man, the go-to player on your team before you made the trade and made the move to align yourself and become a super team, right? But you got to admit, what's transpiring in Brooklyn right now is a beautiful thing, man, because those seeds have been planted. And the same way it is for the Lakers and the Clippers. Like, you know, all these guys, it's not how it was before when everyone wanted to beat each other. Now these guys want to align with themselves and team up and, you know, they play an all-star game. So, you know, imagine what we could do during an 82-game season if me and you suit up together and we line up. Well, let me force the issue and make my way over there, man. And I got some dollars for you over there, too, man. You know, whatever, man. You still got to win the games. You still got to play the games, right? Everyone assumed that the better team in L.A. was the Clippers last year, right? When they traded for Paul George and they signed Kawhi Leonard. But you still got to play the games, right? So now, in the West, Gordon in Denver, that's a trio. You know, I was looking forward to seeing Utah make a move at the deadline, but they also have a trio as well. When you think about it, you got Donovan Mitchell, you got Mike Conley, and you also have Rudy Gobert. Now, that's a three, formidable three as well. And come playoff time, they will be a dangerous team, man. Just think about that, man. Legitimate big man front court. That three is also scary. But what about Phoenix and their three? You know, come playoff time, half court basketball, man. I see Chris Paul feeding that young big man eating. So I see him getting off. You know, Chris Paul's a veteran. He's a maestro with the ball in his hands, a magician. So he's going to work his magic and do what he does. And you already know Devin Booker is going to get his off regardless. So is that a solid three? Do you consider that a super team? I mean, look at the record, right? They're making the playoffs, and the players could start today. That's another scary team. So, you know, again, do you feel super teams are good for the league or it's just bad for the game? You know, your boy Big June, man, I don't really care. You still got to play games, and honestly, all the hoopla surrounding Brooklyn and the Lakers, and I don't want to sound like a hater and all that, but I don't see one of them making the finals. I honestly don't. And, you know, you can quote me on that. We can debate it, discuss it, however you want to go about that, man. It is what it is, man. But I want to say this right now, man. Thank you for all the love and support, and thanks for all the patience that you're having with me doing this difficult technically that I'm having with the YouTube channel. But please follow, like, subscribe, share. Smoke's Lounge Podcast, one word. Sorry for the long delay and all that discrepancy that's going on. But check out the latest episode, that Major League Baseball preview on Anchor, Google Podcasts, and other platforms, Anchor. And, you know, again, man, it's just a beautiful thing when you get to talk about sports and the super teams and is it good for the league? Is it bad for the sport? And how do you feel about it? And, you know, is it fair? You know, I understand where everyone was coming from, man. But again, you know, it is what it is, and it's good for the sport when teams are winning and you're marketable. And, you know, hopefully one day, you know, the underdog rises up to the occasion and, you know, does what he has to do. But, you know, as far as these episodes that I got on Anchor App, man, you know, I got LeBron's Legacy. I got Spread Love the Brooklyn Way. I got the Why You Did It, that's the Trilogy part. I got the Human Highlight Reel, Michael Vick episode. I also got the Killer Instinct, She Got Game, the CTE. You know, your boy Big June is just working, man. Again, I want to apologize for the difficult the difficult technicalities that I'm having with the YouTube channel, man. I'm sorry. And you know, again, thank you for the love, support, and the patience. And, you know, it's crazy right now, man. And hopefully y'all tune in for the NCAA championship game, man. Whether you're rooting for Gonzaga or Baylor, man, it's a must-see, man. Did you see the ending of that UCLA-Gonzaga game, man? It's one for the ages, man. And, you know, they had this doing away moment, and it said chills through my arms, and I'm going to watch that game, man, as a fan. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. Congratulations to the Stanford Cardinals, man, for winning the championship yesterday. And ladies, man, getting it done, man. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you reach that mountaintop, man. In sports, man. Once again, man, it's your boy, Big Joe Smokers Lunch Podcast, man. I'm out, baby.